You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Today, we're going to look at a never-before-seen rapture proof. We're going to decode Revelation's seven-sealed scroll for rapture timing. Now, I bet you have an idea about rapture timing, before the tribulation, in the middle, or after. Just about everybody has an idea. Well, today, we're going to show you a proof you have never seen before. And in my opinion, it is the proof for what the Lord is doing in the end times. So today, you got to open your mind to what the Bible has to say about this, kind of leave behind your preconceived ideas. You see, there are hundreds of ideas on why this theory or that theory is right, and hundreds of arguments. But I bet those arguments would shock the Apostle John, who wrote down Revelation, because it's his book that gave us a timepiece for knowing the truth about these things. The seven-sealed scroll of Revelation 4 through 7. That scroll shows us when the wrath of God starts and when the book of life is opened and the saints are resurrected and raptured. This is Bible teacher Nelson Walters, and this is part two of our teaching on Revelation's seven-sealed scroll. In that previous video, we proved that the first century Christians believed a seven-sealed scroll was a last will and testament. And that is why John cried when initially no one could be found to open it. So the scroll is our inheritance, man's inheritance. From whom? Who died? Who left this to us? Why, Jesus did. And I'm sure you still have a lot of questions. So if you haven't seen part one, there is a link down in the description below this video. And at the end, pick one of those links and catch up with what the scroll is all about, and then rejoin this one. Now, those of you who are up to speed, you're probably wondering, how does the seven-sealed scroll prove rapture timing? You know, pre-wrath, post. Well, like we said, this is a new teaching, at least new on the internet. This teaching comes out of our book, Revelation Deciphered, our most popular book, and there's a link to that book down in the description, and you can pick it up on Amazon in a paperback, ebook, or audio version if you wish. And you get a lot more information in the book. Now, even though the idea of a seven-sealed scroll being proof of rapture timing is new, I think almost every theory considers it as part of their main proof. For instance, those in the pre-trib camp frequently point to Revelation 4:1, John being called up to heaven with the voice of a trumpet before the opening of the scroll, as a symbol of the pre-trib rapture. Pre-wrath frequently point to the statement in Revelation 6:17 that the wrath of God begins after the sixth seal, which is on the scroll, as proof of their position. But I think you see the problem with this, right? Folks say, hey, my idea is more important, or no, my idea is more important. And that's why these arguments tend to go nowhere. People argue about the seals, but they're never looking at the scroll itself and what it says. And today, we're going to look at just that. But first, when do Christians arrive before the throne of God? The pre-trib camp argue for Revelation 4:1. We just talked about when John is called up to heaven. They then think the 24 elders are symbolic of the believers before the throne. The pre-wrath camp believe the elect are caught up after the sixth seal, and are depicted as the great multitude before the throne in Revelation 7, 9-16. Post-trib camp, they have many more diverse ideas, but most agree. Believers arrive at the very end. The second point is, when does the wrath of God begin? The pre-trib camp almost universally believes the wrath begins when Jesus opens the first seal, and that Jesus causes the events that take place after the seals, and they're part of his wrath or punishment. The pre-wrath camp believes the wrath of God begins after the seven-sealed scroll is all the way open, and this is announced by the statement in Revelation 6:17. Post-trib camp, again, has very diverse views, but generally they agree with the pre-wrath view, except most believe the scroll opens at the same time as the seventh trumpet and the seventh bowl, at the very end. So you can see how different it is and how difficult it is to sort all of this out. There are just too many differences and too many problems. And that's why the scroll itself needs to be our primary proof, and not really what happens around it, you know, the seals and things like that. So as we discussed in the previous video on this subject, part one, we asked the question, why did John cry initially when there isn't anyone worthy to open the scroll in heaven? And the answer we learned in that video is that the seventh sealed scroll and all seven sealed scrolls at the time of the first century were frequently the last will and testament of a person. Seven witnesses would each place their seal on the scroll, and when the person finally died and the inheritance was read and the scroll opened, the witnesses to the writing of a scroll would each identify their seal and say, yeah, I was there when that happened. So John cried because this scroll was man's inheritance. That is what was at stake. And at first, no one came forward to open it. And who was it that died and left this inheritance? Why, Jesus, of course. Hebrews 9:15 through 17 tells us this in very plain language. Listen to this. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. So that's Jesus' death. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. This passage in Hebrews was written 30 years prior to Revelation, so John and all of his readers knew that Jesus had a will that promised an inheritance. And they knew what these wills looked like. They were seven sealed scrolls. So when John saw the vision in heaven of a seven sealed scroll being handed to Jesus, he knew exactly what it was. So did his readers. That's why he cried when it couldn't be opened. It's just us today that don't know its identity. So if you need more information on this scroll, be sure to go back, watch that video, or better yet, pick up the book, Revelation Deciphered. But the main point is that the promised eternal inheritance is not granted until the will, the seven sealed scroll, is opened and read. That makes sense. But what is that inheritance? Well, we just saw Jesus' death redeems the elect from their transgressions. Redemption is one of those $10 religious words, which literally means buying back from or winning back from what was previously lost or forfeited. So our inheritance was lost in the Garden of Eden, and Jesus bought it back for us with his blood on the cross. Pretty amazing. That's why we call the gospel good news. Now, what the church gets wrong today is the idea that the will has already been opened. It hasn't. We know from Revelation 7:14 that the scroll is not opened until after the great tribulation. John cried when he saw it in heaven that no one in heaven or on earth was worthy to open the seals. They weren't witnesses of the will. Only the witnesses are worthy to break the seals. Only Jesus was worthy. That means that he and the Father were the only witnesses of this will, likely drafted either before the creation or maybe at the fall of man in the garden. But either way, all the seals are Jesus' seals to break. He is the witness. In Revelation 5:9-10, we see, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals. For you were slain, a death has occurred, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. He bought back our inheritance, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. This hints at one part of the inheritance that the earth and the sovereignty over all the kingdoms on earth will be given to Jesus and the saints upon the opening of the scroll. If you remember in part one of this video series, Daniel 7 is the same event as Revelation chapters 4 through 7. And the result of the books being opened in Daniel 7 is that the kingdom is taken away from Satan and given to the Messiah and his followers, folks like you and me. Has this happened yet? No, the scroll is not opened yet. The inheritance is only gained when the scroll is all the way open. That's why the saints are invited into the throne room of God to hear the reading of the will. They got to be hearing it before it's opened then. We see this in Revelation 7:9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all the tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands. When do they enter the throne room? Only after the sixth seal, not at the beginning of the opening of the seals. And right after that, right after they arrive, the scroll is opened. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour, Revelation 8:1. Why is there silence in heaven at that point, after the scroll is opened, after the will is opened? For eternity past, heaven has resounded, you know, with the sound of praise and worship, but why now? For a half an hour, there's going to be silence. Why? Well, maybe Jesus is reading the scroll during this silent period, reading the will. Are they quiet so Jesus can be heard? I think that's what it means. So silence is occurring in heaven to hear the will read. The pre-trib position imagines John's being called into heaven in the spirit. In other words, as a vision, as a symbol of the rapture. And it places him and the saints there 6 years prior to the scroll opening. Knowing what you know now, does that make any sense that a symbol of a single man being called up in a vision is more weighty than the actual catching up of a great multitude in Matthew 24:31, the elect, and then their immediate appearing physically in the throne room in Revelation 7:9, and then immediately hearing the will read? You have to ask yourself, what are all those people doing in heaven for 6 years waiting for the will to be read? To me, that just doesn't make any sense. And then, immediately after the opening of the scroll, the reading of the will, the seven trumpets announced the results of the will. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them. Revelation 8, 1 through 2. This answers the question about the sequential order of trumpets, seals, and bowls, by the way. The trumpets follow the opening of the scroll. They aren't intermixed with the seals. All the seals have to open before a single trumpet is blown. At the end of these trumpets, then, Jesus receives his diadem crowns, one for all the nations, at the seventh trumpet. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Revelation 11:15. So the kingdom is part of the inheritance. Jesus receiving his crowns is part of the inheritance. Jesus and the saints ruling and reigning. The second part is the redemption of the saints, which is why Jesus shed his blood. Daniel 7:10, we learn the books are opened as part of this process. What books? Seven sealed scroll, we've already seen that, and the book of life, plus the book of deeds. So when we read the books are opened in Daniel 7:10, which we know now is the same scene as the opening of seven sealed scroll, the book of life must be opened then too, its books. This is the moment eternal life is granted as part of our inheritance. It doesn't happen until the scroll is fully opened, until the will is read. Again, does this make sense then that believers will be in heaven for a full 6 years before they are granted eternal life? Or does it make more sense that the will is read immediately upon their appearing in the throne room? If you say, well, why not 6 years and six seals prior to the opening of the will? Ask yourself why the martyrs are still under the altar of sacrifice at the fifth seal. Why weren't they before the throne? Why do they wait until the sixth seal to appear there? And there's one more aspect to the scroll. It contains the wrath of God. And this answers the question of when the wrath begins, with the first seal or when the scroll is opened. In Revelation 5:1, we see the scroll is written on both sides. This is a massive clue that most people don't understand. Scrolls were usually written on one side because the grain of the papyrus only allowed easy writing on one side. For this reason, there were very few scrolls or tablets or books written on both sides. But there is one famous scroll in the Bible written on both sides, somewhere other than Revelation, and that's in Ezekiel 2:9 through 10. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and the back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. In other words, wrath. This is why many scholars think the seventh sealed scroll itself is the wrath of God. We know it can't be. It can't just be the wrath of God because John cries when no one can open it. You know, that doesn't make any sense if it's just wrath. But wrath is definitely a component of it. We're going to find out why. Let's look at what happens just a bit later in Revelation after the scroll is already opened. The idea is that the scroll could contain the inheritance of the saints and the curses to be poured out on the unrighteous. The inheritance of the unrighteous. Go, take the book which is open. And the meaning of the word there is having been opened. In the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and the land. So I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And that's the seven seal scroll already opened. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and in my mouth it was sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. Revelation 10, 8 through 10. So this is the same scroll. And interestingly, back in Ezekiel 2 and 3, the scroll that's the same written on both sides, he eats it too. These are parallel passages. And from this passage, we learn the scroll is both sweet and sour. The order of the sweetness and sourness is important. First, it's sweet. The dead in Christ rise first, and those who survive the great tribulation are gathered together, and they meet the Lord in the air, and they go to the throne room, and they hear the reading of the will. That's the rapture. Immediately after the rapture, the wrath of God is poured out in the form of seven trumpets and seven bowls. That's the inheritance of the unrighteous. The rapture is sweet. The wrath is bitter. And when is this wrath delivered? Well, only after the scroll is opened, only after the seventh seal is broken. This tells us the wrath does not happen back at the first seal. So although bad things happen at the opening of the first four seals, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, it isn't God causing these things. Who is it then? It's Satan reacting to Jesus opening the seals. He doesn't want the seals opened, because that will is going to take away his kingdom. So the wrath begins in Revelation 6:17, just as we're told, for the great day of their wrath has come or has begun, and who can stand? The great day, the great and awesome day of the Lord, the day of wrath doesn't come until the sixth and seventh seals, which appear to happen one after another. So it's the same day. It's the same great and awesome day. All of that, the opening of the sixth seal, the rapture of the church, reading of the will, all happen on one day.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.